Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome everybody back to the Chris Kloss Show. I know the last episode, we've been leaving you hanging. We've been leaving you wondering what is next, what's to be continued. Well, to be continued is the interview with future WWE superstar Willie Mack. It gets personal, it gets in depth. Stay tuned, guys. Here it comes. An honor and a privilege it is for us to have a guy like Willie Mack, for us to have a future WWE star, and who deserves it more than our pal, our good buddy, the guy we've been down the road with, Willie Mack. He is here. He is going to talk about everything. Let it all hang out tonight. This is it, guys. The last official interview until he hits the big time, the WWE. Willie Mack, coming up on the Chris Kloss Show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, want to welcome everybody to the Chris Kloss Show here in beautiful Pacoima, California. Vacation destination bound. I'm here with the very bitter, the very angry, the very envious, the very, just the guy's been antagonized for the past week or two because of this interview. I'm talking about Danny Ramirez. I mean, if anything, this guy should not be bitter about anything. He's been voted the sexiest referee west of the Mississippi, and he's bitter? Can you please explain yourself, pal?
Well, I don't know how you want me to explain it. It is how you said it.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, enough said.
And that's it. Look at okay, anyway, I'm going to get right into it then. Danny Ramirez is here. We are in Pacoima. We just got ourselves some wonderful tacos. Hey, where else can you get them better than a Pacoima? But I will.
Pacoima, not Pacoima.
Oh, well, McDonald's tacos, Pacoima. Folks, Willie Mack is coming up. And this will be the last part of the two-parter interview. First off, I want to thank Willie. I want to thank his family. And again, when talking about him, when talking about his family, in this second part of the final part of the interview that we conducted with him, you're going to hear a lot about that. You're going to hear a lot about his family, his childhood, his upbringing. And again, folks, just talking about it right now, you know, I already conducted the interview with him, but it was very moving, and I can't tell you that I've ever heard anything more inspirational than, maybe it's because I was sitting with him one-on-one, maybe it was because I was with him personally together here, but really, talk about inspiration. And really, like he said, if anyone can do it, you can do it. And it's one of those type stories, you know. Again, we were in South Central LA. We were in South LA, whatever you want to call it. You know, home of the LA riots, all that stuff. And, I mean, he was right in the middle of it and just pulling up to his place, getting ready to do the interview. And then the stories he had, what he's been through, where he is now. God bless this young man, and I'm sure you folks out there wish him nothing but the best, really. And, you know, I'll just let our interview speak for itself. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the final episode, or the final part of our episode, and the final interview for Willie Mack ever, you know, between now and the time he joins and officially is in, which should be days from now. The WWE, I present to you our interview with none other than Willie Mack, exclusively on the Chris Kloss Show. I want to shift gears briefly, Willie. You know, you're talking a lot about amazing things that have happened in your life and that are happening right now. You know, you talked about your struggles growing up in South Central LA, South LA, if you will. And tomorrow is just kind of stumbled upon it when we were on break there. is going to be an anniversary for you, and your father passed away a couple years ago now, 2 years ago, and this had to have been a shock to you when it happened. I know you told me, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was going through some kidney problems. You know, just my father, actually, he had a liver transplant, and that was so dicey at the time. But, you know, fortunately, he did make it through. But I can't imagine what you've been through. And this was 2 years ago, right when you were in the midst of making a name for yourself in wrestling, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a trip going through all that stuff he been through, because he was an old Mississippi cat, because he was from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Oh.
And I see that. I hear your accent a little bit, man.
Because my mom was from St. Louis, like my biological mom, since I was adopted and everything. Yeah, so they met up, and she had me at, like, the St. Louis airport.
Oh, really?
Because she was coming from a funeral, and I guess she was so stressed out from it, she just had me right there in the terminal.
And my dad was born in St. Louis. Now, another coincidence. Man, and we a lot of coincidences in this car. Just to let you know, guys, by the way, when this interview's over, my producer George and I, we were planning on going to a place called Cheers out in San Gabriel, and I asked Willie, you know, on a lark, like, hey, are you doing anything after this? You want to get a couple of drinks with us? And he said, I think I'm down, you know. I like that. Okay, we're going out to San homosexual Briel. I mean San gay Briel. But anyway, and he said, oh yeah, I used to work at a spot out there called Cheers. I'm like, are you kidding me? Just the crazy coincidences. If somehow tonight the stars are lining up somewhere for these things. So, but I believe these are good omens, you know, for good things to happen. So, anyway, coincidences tonight. You were born in the St. Louis airport.
Yep. And I think I was the first baby, too.
First and maybe the last.
I don't know, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Because my mom and pops, pops had a newspaper of it, and he showed it to me, and I was like, wow. Because I was in the newspaper, like, twice, because, like, when I was 3 months old, my house caught a fire over in South Central.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, my mama was, you know, on some stuff, and
okay,
she, like, turned on the stove and was trying to cook something and messed up and caught the house on fire. So my older sister at the time ended up kicking the door in and getting both of us out.
And how old were you?
3 months.
Oh.
Yeah, so this thing, they said it was my burn on my hand and my leg. They said I would grow out of it, but it's still there.
Oh, wow, I see that. I never noticed that, dude.
And I was glad people never really noticed it, because as a kid, I always used to try to, like, hide.
I never knew that, knowing you. Yeah. Never knew it, man.
Yep. So, yeah.
And now, your father passed away 2 years ago, and what I didn't know either was your mother. She passed away when you were 14, is that right?
Yeah, like, my foster mom, because I thought she was my real mom, because she took care of me, like, after the whole fire thing.
Okay.
She, like, got custody of me, and so, like, she had some kidney problems, too. And she died on July 4th, 2001.
Okay. Oh, wow. 4th of July, 2001.
Yep.
Okay.
Actually, I take it back. It was the 3rd.
Okay.
Because the year before that, in 2000, she had a stroke on July 4th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that all changed. I got put in another foster home. They wouldn't let me watch wrestling or do nothing much. And as soon as I turned 18 and got emancipated, I'm like, I'm peacing out. Went to the little community college, played football there while I was wrestling.
Oh, wow.
And ended up staying with Pops to, like, keep up with him, because he was 81.
Oh, your dad was 81?
Yeah, he was born January 15th, 1931.
Oh, your dad robbed the cradle.
Yeah. Yeah, I stayed with him, and then, like, he been through a lot, and I didn't think this little kidney stuff was going to take him out, because he been in a car crash.
Yeah.
And, like, they said he'd never walk again or wouldn't live. But a year later, he came back to that same hospital with a bottle of Jack Daniels and said, y'all need to call out the guards, because I'm back from the dead. And he had a drink with the doctors that told me he wasn't going to walk or nothing again, and they had them a good time.
Nice.
So I'm like, if he could get past through all that stuff, he can make it past this, so.
Would you say, because I know you were talking to us again when we were on break, and I could empathize with everything you said in terms of when your father died, and then of course your mother when you were younger, but now adding your father onto it, that you almost lost hope, you were saying, all right? You lost a drive to do a lot of things, and I'm just, what a testament. I mean, I know I've said this before when we first started this interview, but it means so much more now, no joke, that look at fans, are you listening to this? Are you listening to this guy right now? Are you hearing what he's saying, what he's been through, and where he's at? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have something inside of you, Willie, that's pretty special. And, you know, a lot of people strive to capture that so they can keep going through adversity. And, you know, you really are an inspiration, just like you're telling me right now how your father was an inspiration to you. And even your father's story is an inspiration to people out there listening right now.
Yep. Because, like, all I got was wrestling. Like, as soon as it happened, I just posted it up on my Twitter and Facebook. And the first person actually called me because I was going through some stuff, like, thinking what I'm going to do. And B-Boy was one of the first people to call me to check up on me. And I was like, that's why I was always cool with B-Boy, because, like, he was the first person to actually hit me up and see how the hell I was doing, if I was still breathing or if I was in my right mind. Because I was like, after that, I was ended up homeless, because
I remember that.
It was just me and Pops. And then,
that's right around the time when we met.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah. You were just about, or you had just been homeless, I think, at that time.
And then, like,
And I didn't know that when I met you. A lot of people, you kept that. You didn't want charity. You didn't want anything. A lot of us found out, long time after, I found out from our friend Raven, a few years later. So he was homeless, really, then? Like, just didn't know. No one knew.
Yeah, like, because I know Little Cholo was one of the first fools who hit me up. After that, he said, hey, and I thank him for that, too, because he was like, we want to do a benefit show for you here at the Pappy Dome, at the Albert Pineda Dome on Salt Lake in Huntington Park, or Cudahy, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, Cudahy, yeah.
And I was like, nah, dog, people got enough to worry about paying their own bills and taking care of their families and stuff. I don't want y'all to do that for me. They're like, nah, dog, it's like the right thing to do. We're here for you. We're family and this and that. And I'm like,
that's awesome,
man. All right, if y'all want to do it, go ahead. But it's like, I don't want to take away from nobody. It's tough times right now, and y'all need to do your own thing. So I was surprised how many people actually PayPal'd stuff in and, like, sent checks and envelopes and stuff to help us out with it. And, yeah, it turned out pretty good.
Wow. How did that feel when that came in?
It tripped me out because I don't think nobody gave a damn about it, because it's like, I'm just a wrestler. Y'all just going to see me for, like, an hour or two at that, because I'll be chilling, walking around, or once my match come on, another 15, 20 minutes. So I didn't think they really cared.
Well, you know, I mean, my humble opinion, I don't think time matters. You know, you said, like, well, hey, I'm only on for an hour, but I don't think time is of the essence when talking about things like this. If you touch somebody and somebody wants to give back to you, to me, that only means that you gave to them in the first place, for them to want to give to you. So, you know, whatever you're doing out there to inspire somebody, you've done it. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. I believe if someone's going to, you know, help you out back in that regard. Because, you know, when you say, hey, look, I was only on TV for an hour. Well, you know what, Willie? Right now, since you've been talking about these extraordinary things that have happened in your life, shoot, you've only been talking, what, for 5-10 minutes about it. So time doesn't matter, you know? Time doesn't matter. So, you know, it's what you do. And, no, that's awesome stuff. Thank you so much for sharing all this, because we're seeing a side of Willie Mack. Not you know, the good ear and the bad ear side. I don't mean that physically. I mean, you know, we're seeing a different side of Willie Mack right now, and this is getting a chance, giving the people out there a chance to, again, get to know you. For me to get to know you, even. You know, I didn't know a lot of these things myself, so I want to thank you for that. And before we wrap it up here, and before we wrap it up with you in Southern California, this is it, pal. I mean, in just a matter of time, everything that you went through, the trials, the tribulations, are going to pay off. Again, in the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, can't congratulate you enough. Could not, it's an old cliche, but I mean every word of it, could not have happened to a better guy, Willie Mack. We do have a little bit more time. Right now, I want to question Willie before we start wrapping it up. We got a little bit more time here. And we might actually do this as a two-parter, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see how the producer rearranges the editing and all that when we're done with this interview. And go from there. How, Willie, did you get started in PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla? It wasn't through Devin, right? Devin Miles, the cameraman?
No.
No, okay.
Mm-mm. I was just helping out. Because, like I said, I go to shows and help out, show up. Even before, like, I started, like, fully wrestling, I was helping them out when they used to run at the Sweat Box, the Los Feliz on Sunset and Western at the Jewish Community Club. And,
I remember that. Oh, right around the corner from one of the very rare, only three left, I think, in existence, Pioneer Chicken. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Still looks like the old 1972, layout there.
Yeah. I guess some of the people knew me from way back then, and, like, I started to do my thing. So around 2000, damn, I'm trying to think if it was 2000.
I remember those shows. Those shows, and what, it was Daniel Bryan was on those shows.
Yep. Yeah. Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe.
All those guys.
CM Punk had, like, one of his matches there and everything. So here we come up 2011 in December, and good friend of mine, Joey Ryan, was telling people who was on it. He hit up. He said, all right, Johnny Yuma is booked for PWG. Johnny Goodtime is booked for PWG. Peter Avalon is booked. And finally he said, Willie Mack is booked. And I just looked at him. I said, what? Because I'm thinking PWG was nothing but for, like, smaller dudes, like cruiserweight type cats or light heavyweights. But
true.
When I got that opportunity, I was happy as all hell because, like, PWG is one of the biggest companies indie-wise out here besides ROH and CZW at the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I could work one of those places, I'm good. And so I had my debut match for them against Pretty Peter Avalon. We were the first match, tore it up, and got a please come back chant. Like, that was one of my favorite matches I ever had, because it ain't nothing like debuting somewhere and showing what you got. And if the people love it and the promoters love it, they bring you back. That's like the best feeling in the world, to know you did your job that good that people want to have you, invite you back for it.
What was more exciting, the match itself or when they did that chant, please come back, 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 please come back. Is it coming back now? Is it coming back?
Yeah,
now? I was trying to get that back in your head there. Okay.
It's like all of it wrapped together in one, because this is their first taste of me, because half of the people that go to PWG shows don't realize there's other indie feds, local California feds around and think this is the only big spot. I'm like, no, I've been wrestling before that, so to be on that stage, and that, even though it's a small building, the crowd is hype as hell.
Yes, for sure.
And it's like, if I could handle that crowd and get a good reaction out of them, I could go anywhere and get, like, the same thing, I'm pretty sure.
I agree, man. Well, you got to wrestle guys like Chris Hero, right? What was it like to wrestle some of the top indie guys in the country? How did that feel? And who were some other top indie guys that you consider top of the chart, stature-wise, that you've been in the ring one-on-one with, or tag?
It was great to know.
Or Battle Royal.
Oh, it's good to know, like, the promoters and people actually think I can hang with these dudes. So it's like Chris Hero I've been in there with, Austin Aries, Adam Pearce is another one, Chris Daniels, Samoa Joe, Roderick Strong. Who else? A bunch of them. Michael Elgin. And the list goes on and on and on. And it's like, I was here not too long ago sitting in the crowd watching these dudes wrestle. Hmm. And I seen them come up, and it's like, I'm the new kid on the block, and I go in there, and I mix my stuff with their stuff, and it's like, it comes out great, and it feels good that I'm, like, with these world-class athletes, and they consider me a world-class athlete, too, on their level, so it feels awesome.
It must have. Who would you say, if you can pick, I know it's hard, but, or if you want to put top three, no particular order, not even stature-wise, just in general, who's your favorite opponent of all time?
Scorpio Sky.
Scorpio Sky.
Yep. Because, man, me and Scorpio wrestled a bunch of places, but on a bigger platform, wrestling for NWA and Championship Wrestling, it was, like, great because it was like a, it was like good chemistry in every single match, no matter what, if it was a tag match or a one-on-one or a ladder match or whatever. We went out there and put our best stuff out there, and we pulled it off, and the crowd was into every single thing we did, and couldn't have did it without them. I liked it, and especially when it was my first major title, I had the NWA Hollywood television title, and that was one of the great moments, too.
Mm. You know, Willie, I was your last PWG show, your last pro wrestling real show. Unfortunately, I was not in attendance that night. I was over at Mom's 99 cents that night. But what exactly? How was that? How was that night? I know. Reading about it, talking to people, that it was a very special evening for you, for you know, the guys working the show. The promoters, from everybody to the announcers, the referees, even, of course, the fans. How was that event for you?
It was amazing because I didn't think people gave a damn about my wrestling. Huh. Like, I thought I was just another dude on the card, which I was, but once they found out that might be my last little bit of everything, and I just went up in there real, and after the match, and told my story and how I felt from my heart, and
yeah.
I guess people felt for it, and people was crying. Wow. I was surprised. Like, everybody who was in that 10-man tag, including the referee, was in that ring listening to my story, and they was crying while I was crying.
Huh.
And then, like, I looked through the crowd. It's like grown men and women out there just letting their hearts out and feeling for a dude you don't really know, but through the power of pro wrestling, everybody comes together. It's weird,
yeah,
because
it's weird.
Like,
isn't it funny?
Yeah, it's like you can speak a different language or anything, but like once pro wrestling, that's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah. As a luchador or anything like that, it's like
America, Mexico, Japan, doesn't matter.
It speaks for itself, and to have that kind of reception and the fans chanting "You deserve it" afterwards, I was like, wow, I guess I did do something right in this crazy life I live, so, yeah.
Good for you, man. Good for you. What are some of the shows? What are some shows coming up for you until the big signing?
Well, I got FSW Future Stars of Wrestling out in Las Vegas at their school coming up tomorrow, actually.
Tomorrow?
Yep, I'm going.
Oh, I
to
can't
Vegas.
Take you out drinking tonight. I don't want to be the reason that something happens. You know,
it's Vegas.
Oh, it's yeah. Well, you got to work for it. Then after the show, it's I know Vegas. There's also people jobs. They have jobs.
Yeah.
There.
Well, I got that coming up. Then I got Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy.
Okay.
On the 26th, I believe.
Of September.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
And then I'm wrestling Hudson Envy. She's an EWF wrestler, and it's going to be an intergender match, so.
Hmm. Andy Kaufman relinquishes title from the dead, huh? The intergender champion.
I guess, okay. But a lot of people have been talking, and they really hyped for it, so we'll see what we can pull off there.
Maybe Andy Kaufman will be the day that he kind of, you know how people thought Elvis was really alive? Maybe that'll be the day where Andy Kaufman finally reveals that he swerved everybody. He did not die when somebody else claims to be the intergender champion.
Hmm.
You know, he'll claim his title. Do you, let me ask you this, Willie. Do you have, say right now, with WWE's current roster, All right. If you had to pick, or if you wanted to be, whether it's the match or program with, who would you want to be in a match right now with? And let's do it in two groups, and then we'll do all of the above. First, who would you want to have a match with right now in WWE? Who would you want to have a match? That's A. B is who would you want to have a match with right now from NXT? C, out of both, who would you want to have a match with altogether? Who would be the top one?
I think
for WWE, who would be your dream opponent?
Probably Dolph Ziggler.
Okay, and you know him, right?
No, not really.
Okay, because our friend Raven was kind of chummy with him, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe for a little while, and then I got a chance to meet him, so I know you were, he was a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Why Ziggler?
Well, he's, like, got everything you want right now. He's got the charisma, the match skills is good, and I think our two styles are, like, meshed together pretty good. And we could pull out some great stuff, and hopefully if the future is good enough and keep pushing forward like it is, I hope to have a match with him one day.
How about NXT?
NXT, so many good dudes. Probably Kenta or Adrian Neville.
Adrian, okay, okay. And I guess out of the two, who would you rather, Ziggler or the NXTs, if you had to pick?
Probably Kenta.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, because Kenta's got a great hard-hitting style, and I'm pretty sure we could do some magic in that ring.
I just have to say, Willie, I mean, again, it just shows your loyalty to the business and not the fame right there without hesitation. No, I want to go against the NXT guy instead of Dolph Ziggler because it's not about television. It's not about WWE. It's about professional wrestling, sports entertainment. And again, these are the qualities that you look for with a star. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want somebody. I was just talking to a buddy of mine that works for the Oakland A's just last night. We were talking about these guys, these indie guys, live the life as if they're already there. They're already stars. They don't make any money, and they drive around like they're these millionaires and these big-time wrestlers. And I kind of responded to him. I'm like, you know what? That's why they haven't made it. Mm. Because nobody wants to hire somebody that already thinks they're the shit before they're the shit. Especially just in general, people who think they're the shit.
Yeah.
So, and you know, when you usually meet people that are already established, these people aren't living the life as much as these indie guys that think they're stars, you know? And I think that's why they get hired on board, because if it's only about the stardom, then you're never going to get that work ethic out of them in terms of why they're there in the first place, mm-hmm. you know? And when I hear you just answer right away, oh, hey, the NXT guy, I could see it in your face, feel it when you answer that. You're not thinking about television. You're thinking about wrestling, your craft, you know? And that, I think, just my opinion, that's going to go a long way when you are in there, when you are working the business. It's going to keep it going for yourself, because if you don't have that, then you're most of the guys, I think that's why you hear the guys always, they burn out because they're just thinking of the stardom, and they're only kind of lying to themselves, kidding themselves a lot of the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think the realism that you have, your humble attitude, and again, just a realistic viewpoint of the business, I think it already has, but it's going to carry you, you know, even farther now. And you know, sky's the limit. You don't stop at the top, you know, as Klaus Meine said back in 1988. But talk to me now, Willie, before we start wrapping things up. Talk to me about the fans out here in Southern California. Talk to me about some last words you'd like to tell them, not just in Southern California, but wherever else you've been that you know there's some legions of fans. I know you just talked about that very special occasion that you had at the last PWG show, and a special occasion it was. You know what the fans said to you. Maybe you want to share a little bit of what you said at that PWG show, but talk a little to the fans right now that are listening out there about, before you take the old plane trip back east, any final words for the multitude out here in the Southland?
Well, just everybody around the globe, if you ever see me wrestle or watch me on YouTube or picked up one of my shirts, thank y'all for supporting me. And this ain't the end of the line. I'm going to just keep on doing my thing and being me, because it's like, I've been through so much inside and outside of wrestling. It's like, whenever somebody tells you you can't do nothing, no matter if you're old or young or disabled or whatever, if they tell you you can't do nothing, just tell them you can go to hell, because if Willie Mack can make it and follow his dream, I know damn well I can, because that's the only thing it is to do. And never try to fake anything. Just be yourself and keep doing you. Just keep pushing forward.
Well, thank you so much, Willie. And again, I can't emphasize enough how spectacular, how amazing, how awe-inspiring and just awesome your journey is. I'm just talking to you now. This microphone ain't here right now, right? Oh. No, but it is. You know, but I'm talking to you seriously. Like, we just on the drive over here, we were talking about how unbelievably awe-inspiring your journey. It's so very unique too. I mean, I was driving over here, I said, you know, we were driving through downtown LA, and I was telling George, I think this guy right now, at least right now in this very moment, is probably the most unique story in this entire city, just right now in this moment. I know there's a lot of stories out there, you know, uniqueness, but I think right now this is an amazing time, and all I can say is what you're already doing is embrace the hell out of it. Live your life and enjoy the experience and the roller coaster ride that you're on and that you're about to go on in the WWE and in your personal life, wherever that takes you. And again, on behalf of myself, on behalf of the fans here in Southern California, and on behalf of the fans all over the world that have seen you, and it's been an honor having you on the show. We've worked together in the past. Hopefully, this will not be the last time, and we, not only in the past, but we will work again in the future. Willie Mack, sir, thank you very much for being on the Chris Kloss Show, an exclusive right here on location in South Central, South LA. With the one and only future WWE superstar, Willie Mack. Again, Willie, thank you so much. Well, Danny Ramirez, I guess that was it. And good luck to our friend.
Wait a minute. I want to go get something to eat. What do you mean, say it?
What do you mean, get something to eat? We just listened to the Willie Mack interview.
Yeah,
right,
but did you see me? I had to go to the bathroom and buy some chips.
So, wait a minute. You were in the bathroom and eating chips the whole time that Willie Mack interview was on?
No, I went to the bathroom, but then I went to get toilet paper. There was no toilet paper, and I used a dollar to buy some chips.
Okay, the whole time that interview was on, you did all that?
Yeah, my dollar was wrinkled. I just kept trying to
Let me try to refresh your memory. Hey, guys, with all kidding aside, I mean, we hope you enjoyed that interview as much as we did conducting it. And, you know, again, all the best to Willie.
Can I use a dollar?
Huh?
Can I use a dollar?
A dollar for what?
Soda.
A soda?
Yeah, the vending machine.
Oh, stop. Can you wait till this is over? Danny, please. I know you're upset. You didn't come down there. It's all about you tonight, but let's just try to focus.
I was surprised by buying a Hershey's chocolate bar.
That was milk chocolate, Willie Mack.
Yeah, it's $1.25.
All right, Danny, would you just calm down, please? Just get a hold of yourself.
Hold on.
All right. The inhaler. That's getting a hold of yourself. Okay, he's got asthma, folks. All right, ladies and gentlemen. And thank God he has asthma. Otherwise, he'd be talking more than he usually does. Yikes. Folks, all kidding aside, Willie Mack, thank you for doing this. We wish you the best of luck in WWE. And again,
wait a minute, what? You got signed to, oh, that's right, WWE, huh? It's awesome. Dude, you gonna put the interview on? I missed it.
Listen to it at home on your own, pal.
Now, did you do it in Spanish or in English?
French.
Oh,
actually, do it in German.
Oh, hey, hi there, mate.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, like I said, once again, this is the Chris Claus Show. But yeah, that was it. That was the that was history right there. And we're pleasured enough to, again, have him. And we hope you enjoyed it once again as much as we did conducting it. Willie, wish you all the best. Danny, any last words for Willie Mac before he hits the whoa-whoa-wee?
Where to go, Willie Mac? How do you Google your email for the Chris Claus Show?
Oh, first off, if you want to send us any comments, go to questions@chrisclaus.com. Producer George, what is it again for Twitter?
@TheChrisClaus.
@TheChrisClaus when you're on Twitter.
So you have to type all that to send an email?
Shut up! Danny Ramirez, my name is Chris Claus. This is The Chris Claus Show. Want to thank everybody once again for joining. Good night, everybody.